In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're on volume 19. Volume 19. 7, 8, 26. So he says, Luisa, Luisa, you must know. So this, the book on the you must know is essential for us. He says this to Luisa. So Luisa can put these words down. You must know. So the you must know book starts out with this. You must know this. And that's what's so beautiful about the You Must Know book. It's a new beginning that's happening for all of humanity. It's a new beginning that Jesus wants to give us. He says, you have to know this. So he says, the one who must be first to form a kingdom, this is for us to know. So the one, Luisa, who is the first to form a kingdom, to bring a good, to form a work, must suffer more than anyone. So when you look at the life of St. Francis, to bring about Benedictines, and you look at St. Dominic, he suffered the most than any soul to enter into the Dominican life. So he says, Luisa, you're going to be the first to form this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And he says, therefore, Luisa, you have to understand this. You're going to suffer more than anyone. So, and do more than anyone. So with us, what God is asking us who are linked with Luisa is that the suffering that God is calling us to, the martyrdom that God is calling us to, the victimhood that God is calling us to, is to not do our human will. So the consequences of not doing your human will is peace, joy, and happiness. So what happens is you begin to read and study and put this into practice as you begin to really live, try to live in the divine will, which you fail at, and we fail every day because we're worried, we're fearful, we're anxious, we're complaining, we're negative. And God says, you can't do this. You gotta die to this. You've got to suffer more than your family. You got to suffer more than your neighbors. You got to suffer more than all the people in the church. And we go, I don't want to suffer. Please. I mean, I get a sliver and it's like, ah. Jesus is saying the suffering that we're calling to do, that God is calling us to do, more than anybody in your family, is no more worry. No more feeding the demon of worry. No more fear. No more feeding the demon of fear, keeping it alive in you. No more negativity. Stop feeding the demon of negativity. The worry, fear, anxiety. No more. Not to be anxious. It's fiat. That's peace, joy, and happiness. You have to do more than your family. Now, when you offer this to your family, the Book of Heaven, and your family says, thank you, but no thank you, they're not ready for it. And so Jesus is saying, would you do it for them? Would you give up your human misery for them? Would you give up your human complaining for them? Would you start with your family and include the whole world? The soul, this is Jesus talking to Luisa and now talking to us, must facilitate things and means and prepare what is needed. Okay. So that finding the raw materials of that work and seeing it done, others, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners may imitate it. So the suffering that we're going through is not giving life to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And what people do is they'll call you with worry, with fear, with anxiety, with complaints, with negativity, with sin. And they say, look at that. Look what's going on. And our job is to say, say fiat. This is what Jesus taught Louisa. This is what Jesus is teaching me. He is our God. He's going to take care of it if we trust him. That's why the final devotion that Jesus has given to his church before he returns, as he said to St. Faustina, is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. So these are the raw materials. And seeing it, trusting God, believing in God, confidence in God, others may imitate what you're doing. When somebody goes, oh, did you hear about this? It's just, they just said da, 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 da. And it's like, God's in charge. Yeah, God will take care of this. And it's like, don't you understand? We've got to be worried. We got to be fearful. We got to be anxious. We got to be complaining. We got to be negative. But look what's going on. It's like, no, I'm dying. I died to that. Jesus is going to take care of it. That was Our Lady. Today's the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, and the reading for today is Our Lady saw that they were running out of wine. And she said to Jesus, we're running out of wine. And he goes, what's that to me? I haven't started my, and he said, what did she do? She said to the people there, do whatever he tells you. That's Our Lady. Our Lady always leads us to Jesus. Do whatever he tells you. So what does Jesus do? The first time I made wine, I made 150 gallons. That's how much wine Jesus made, 150 gallons. That's 350-gallon barrels. And I still have some. That was done, the first wine that I made was 1996. I still have some. I can't wait. I'd like to taste it and see what it's like. I still got bottles of it. But what the Lord does is he, and this is why it's so great to have it on this day. He saved the best for last. What's coming is so beautiful. When you read the divine will, you are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. When you read the divine will, everything comes to life. Jesus says that. You have found the raw materials in the book of heaven. I have given you this, that you may form the raw materials for those who must live in my divine will. Why? Because they will see this in you, the peace, the joy, the happiness, and want to imitate it. I saw this in Father Bucci. Father Bucci was gruff, but he was filled with peace. When he would always bark, and then he would giggle. You would always hear him laughing. You know, he'd say something. He'd say to me, Chelsea! and then he would laugh. I mean, what do you need? What do you need? And it was fun. It was fun because he was filled with light and life and love. This is what we want. We want to enter into this abundant life, this new and divine way of holiness that God is offering to us through Louisa, because he, Jesus, says, I have given you the book of heaven. If anybody gave you the book of heaven, it was me who planned it. This is what I wanted, and this is what you have received. And he says, and you must begin to live in the divine will. And that's our prayer every day. Every day at Holy Mass, I pray for all the souls who must live in the divine will. That's us, hopefully. Then Jesus says, this is why I, God, have given you, Louisa, so much. This is why much have I given you to Louisa and those that have the book of heaven, much I am giving to you. We should be thanking God for this. And do give you so that you may form the raw materials for those souls who must live in the kingdom of my divine will. This is a divine decree. It says Jesus gave us a divine decree to be Catholic. He said, I want humanity to enter into this universal life. I want you to know the basics of the Catholic faith, the ABCs of the Catholic faith, so that you can begin to embrace the divine will. We haven't seen, the majority that what has to happen hasn't happened yet. The saints tell us this. The creation, Jesus said, is not complete yet. What is the completion of creation? That the second generation of the children of light will live in the divine will. That's what God is asking us to do. The raw materials are in the book of heaven. The how and the why this is going to happen is in the book of heaven. For the souls who will read this, who will study this, who will put this into practice, who will be the ones who must live in my divine will. So Jesus says to Louisa, be attentive. What does be attentive mean? Know the time that you're living in. Somebody said to me yesterday on the phone, do you think we're in the last times? Well, John Paul II, in I think it was 1993, when he was talking to the children in Denver, he says basically the same thing that he's always said. We are now in the end times. It's not the end of, it's the end of the world. St. Paul said we are in the end of times now. So therefore, if he said that 2,000 years ago, St. John Paul II said, then we must be in the end of times. It's not the end. It's the beginning of what God is going to do. So therefore, he says, be attentive to what's around you. Be attentive to what's happening. Be attentive to reading and studying and putting this book of heaven in life, alive in you. Be attentive and disposed to what I give you. God has given us the book of heaven. He says, I've placed it in your hands. I knew from the beginning of time, you were the ones that I was going to give this book to. I predestined you to live at this time, at the end of times, at the end of the world, to possess this book. Therefore, be attentive. Be attentive to what I'm telling you, to what I give you, and do what I want from you. That means to read, to study, put this into practice. Have it become alive in you. Have this be your life, which is the universal life of the Catholic Church. Everything, Jesus says, there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Volume 19, 7, 14, 19, 26. How I, God, have agonized in seeing the interests of my glory in danger, both in creation and redemption. Jesus knows what's happening in the world. The fastest growing religion is Satanism. I agonize in seeing the interests of my glory in danger, both in creation and redemption. More so since I kept this kingdom as though in secret and hidden in my sacred heart, Jesus says, without even an outlet of manifesting it. And this made me agonize even more because not seeing in humanity the true dispositions that I might give this birth for myself. And since souls have not taken all the goods contained in the kingdom of redemption found in my Catholic Church. Think about it. Each one of us has the opportunity of going to Holy Mass every day, going to confession each week. Since they have not taken all the goods contained in the kingdom of redemption found in the Holy Catholic Church, I could not venture to give them the kingdom of my divine will and that contains the greater goods that God wants to manifest to humanity. So he says to us, he says to the remnant, basically, are you ready to live this abundant life? Are you ready to live this new and divine way of holiness? And when we say yes, he says, okay, then I want to see it. Are you worried about anything? Are you fearful about anything? Are you anxious about anything? Are you complaining about anything? Are you negative about anything? Oh, what they're doing is so terrible. It's so. Jesus said to Louisa, they're trying to destroy my church. Louisa, they're trying to destroy humanity. Louisa, he says, get ready to let the divine will reign on earth as it is in heaven. This is what we're going to do. Aren't you happy? So let them do what they want. God has to give everybody, you want hell? It's yours, Jesus says. I don't want you to go to hell, Jesus says. But if that's what you want, it's yours. I want you in heaven. So those that are choosing hell are on the road to hell. It's our job to pray in their name. They're on the edge of the abyss. And we say to the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins and the sins of all the world. And I come before you, Lord, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, all my brothers and sisters, all your children. And I say, have mercy on us. Lead us closer to you. Bring the Holy Mother to lead us to embrace you. And that's why Our Lady's appeared all over the world. She's getting everybody ready. For what? The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says in volume 19:4, 8:4, 19:26, how beautiful the light of my divine will shall be. It's not here yet. In seeing it, creatures will dispose themselves of the devices in their souls in order to connect to the wires of the teachings. So he says, people are going to get ready to hook up these, I mean, it's like wires, electrical wires coming into you to connect to the wires of the teachings. What's this electrical wires coming into you? It's the book of heaven. So as to enjoy and receive the divine power of the divine light of the electricity of my supreme will, all that it contains, as much as you want or as little as you want. Think about the electricity coming into your house. You have one plug, one object, basically. Jesus says, I want you to radiate in this divine light. When my father built his house, there was basically one plug on each wall. That's all we had. And it was, oh, what was it? How many amps? I think it was 90 amps, I think. Maybe less than that for the house. Now it's 250 amps coming in. You got more plugs, more light, more love, more. Jesus is saying, the more that you read, we start out with nothing. And then little by little, God expands his capacity within us, connecting to the wires of the teachings of Jesus, the lessons of Jesus, to enjoy and receive the divine power, the light of the electricity of my supreme will contains. As much as you want or as little as you want. There's no limit to this. All that Jesus is asking, all that God wants is for us to say, yes, you want me to have this electrical light coming into my life, this electrical teachings of the supreme will? I want it. God goes, how much do you want? You want to go from 90 to 200 amp? We can do that very simply. It's not going to cost you a cent. He says, do you want to see what shall happen? Jesus says, I take one wire of my teaching linked to your soul and you admit your voice within the wire. And what do? You say, I love you. I adore you. I praise you. I bless you. I worship you. I glorify you. That's the rounds. That's the rounds. One wire. All of a sudden you begin to pray your rounds. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I love you, Mary. I adore you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I bless you. I glorify you. I worship you. That's heaven. Whatever you want to say, be attentive and onlooking. What does that mean? Read. And Louisa says, as Jesus says this, Louisa says, I love you. And that I love you changed into characters of light with the electrical power of the supreme volition multiplied in it in such a way that the I love you of light would go through the whole vault of heaven and fix itself in the sun and each star, penetrate into the heavens, fix itself in each of the blessed, each of the saints of heaven, forms its crown of light at the foot of the divine throne and enter even to the bosom of the supreme majesty. In sum, wherever the divine will was, this is Jesus praying in our praying, it would form its electrical light in all the universe. See, Jesus is praying in us. That's what the divine will is. He says, let me have my way with you. Let me begin this new and divine way of holiness. This is so amazing. He says, once you start saying to God, I love you, it's changed into characters of light, the electrical power of the supreme volition multiplied in it in such a way that the I love you of light goes through the whole vault of heaven, the whole universe. It fixes itself in the sun, the stars, penetrates into heaven, it fixes itself in each of the saints in heaven. The saints are now saying what you're saying, I love you. Why? It's Jesus in you that's doing it. And everyone participates in what Jesus is doing. It's the crown of light at the foot of the divine throne. It enters even into the bosom of the supreme majesty. And wherever the divine will is, it would form its light, this electrical light. Now Jesus says to us, have you seen what the power of the electricity of the supreme fiat has? Have you seen how the power of the electricity of the supreme fiat reaches everywhere? The electricity of the earth diffuses down below at the most, and it does not have the power to reach even the stars. But the power of my electrical divine will diffuses down below, diffuses up high, it diffuses in every heart. It goes everywhere. And wherever the wires are disposed with enchanting rapidity, it shall make its way into the midst of all of humanity, all the survivors. See, Jesus is saying, would you stand in the breach? As Moses stood in the breach begging for his people, because God says, I'm going to wipe them out. Moses says, wipe me out too. He stood in the breach. Jesus asks us, and he asked Louisa first, would you stand in the breach? And when Louisa says yes, he says, good, thank you. We pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. The kingdom is coming. Volume 19, 18, 1926. Jesus speaking to the Reverend Father. This is St. Honorable de Francia, who must occupy himself with the printing of the writing. So when we pray, we want to thank St. Honorable de Francia, because Jesus says this is his rule. He's going to start it out on earth and he's going to complete it in heaven. We beg him, St. Honorable de Francia, who was told by Jesus that you're the one to print these writings. Everything I have said about my divine will is nothing other than the preparing the way, forming the army, gathering the chosen people, preparing the royal palace, disposing the ground on which the kingdom of my divine will must be formed, so to rule and dominate. Everything that Jesus has said is bringing about preparing the way, forming the army, gathering the chosen people, preparing the royal palace, disposing the ground for what? The kingdom to be formed and rule and dominate. When Jesus says something, it is accomplished. We're trapped in time and space. When the veil is lifted, we're going to see it's here. It's here. And that great event, when that great event occurs, glory, glory, glory. Then after this, Jesus blessed the Reverend Father and came to my little soul, resuming his speaking and saying, my daughter Louisa, how much I care about my divine will. How I yearn that my divine will become known. This is what God is wanting in you and in me. My interest is so great that I am, he uses God's name, I am disposed to give any grace to whomever wants to occupy himself with making the divine will known. Who do we want to make the divine will known to? Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your coworkers don't want it. Even your parishioners don't want it. Who are you to make this known to? It's yourself. As you learn this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, as you begin to live this life, everyone is going to say, I want what you have. And you're not going to say anything to anybody. You live this. Why are you so peaceful? Don't you know what's happening? It's all fiat. God is going to take care of it. How can you say that? because God is God. And I trust in him. I believe in him. I hope in him. I have confidence in him and him alone. Oh, Jesus, how I wish that they would hurry, because I, God, see in all, that all my rights shall be given back to me. We're going to live in the divine will as God originally planned for Adam. The order between God and humanity shall be reestablished. I, God, shall no longer give my gifts to the human generations halved, but whole. I shall never again receive from them that are incomplete. Our prayers are going to be his prayers. Praying in our praying. It's going to be complete. Ah, my daughter, able to give and wanting to give, but finding no one to whom to give is always a pain, always a weight with no hope of relief. Louisa, if you knew how much jealousy of love I stand around your soul when I see your soul disposed to do your acts in my divine will. He wants to say that about us. If you knew how much love and jealousy I have around you when I see you disposed to do your acts in my divine will. He says, before the soul begins her act, I make the light and the virtue of my divine will flow within that act. Jesus is doing this so that her act may take its origin on the virtue that my most holy divine will contains. And as the soul keeps forming it, the light and the virtue invest that act and carry it out. Jesus is doing this, not me. I'm allowing him to do it. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. As she completes it, the light is sealed over it and gives it to form of a divine act. Why? Because Jesus is doing it. Finally, there's a soul who wants to be in my image and likeness. Oh, how my supreme goodness delights in seeing that the soul possesses this divine act. Are you doing all your acts one with Jesus? Are you calling on the divine will continuously? Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. I want you to be in charge of my intellect, memory, and will. The three powers that you have given me, I want you to be Lord of. Volume 19, 822, 1926. My divine will is more than light. My divine will diffuses everywhere. My divine will brings the good it contains. And the acts done in the divine will form the atmosphere of gold and silver that has the virtue of emptying all the darkness of the night of the human will and receiving the beneficial light of the kingdom. Receiving, and it brings the kiss of the eternal volition to dispose humanity to wanting to come into the kingdom of my supreme fiat. This is the wedding feast. This is why you wear your ring. Your spouse is Jesus. Your Lord, your Savior, your Master, your King is Jesus. And he wants you to live in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 19, 9, 3, 1926. My daughter, the desire for a good, for knowing the good, purges the soul, disposes the soul of her intelligence, the human intelligence, to comprehend in a divine manner. Jesus is thinking in your thinking. Disposes the soul of her memory so that we can remember the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, and then her human will feels the appetite for being wet. What does that mean? To excite your interest. Here, this is what they do at the grocery stores. Hey, have a piece of that candy. Tell me what you think. It's wetting your appetite to make of it its food and its life. God is saying, test this. Tell me what you think. When we read the Book of Heaven, it makes us ready for the first bread. This first bread. And it moves God to give the soul that good and to make that good known. Who knows it? We know it. Well, we're happy, we're peaceful, we're joyful for this first bread. So the desire for a good, the desire for knowing the good, is like the appetite for the food. As you read this, you want more. As you study this, you want more. As you possess this, you want more. And that's God. He's gratuitous. He's always giving, 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 giving. God loves us very, very much. And he needs us to cooperate. He's not going to force us. So this wedding of our appetite is what he's asking. Are you ready to taste this? And this is another thing that's kind of sad. When people taste this bread, it is so delicious that a lot of times they're so overwhelmed that they take the bread out of their mouth and they say, you got to taste this. And people go, get away from me. Get away from me. I'm not tasting what just came out of your mouth. No, no, this is so good. And we say to them, okay, read, watch what God will feed you. It's going to be better than what he gave me because it's your taste, not mine. He's going to give you an appetite for this first bread, to read, to study, to put it into practice. Volume 19, 9:19-26. Knowledge is not enough if one does not possess the good of that the very knowledge contains. So, well, I know all about it. No, you don't. No, you don't. We're going to learn about this for all eternity. We're going to be in awe of God for all eternity. We're going to possess this good as God speaks to us. We have to possess the good that the knowledge contains. And so he says, if this were not so, knowledge would render you unhappy, because knowing a good and not possessing it is always a sorrow. So if you don't possess it, you're unhappy. And I've seen many people in the divine will who will read something and they'll go, that was good. And then they go back to their miserable life. They're unhappy. Why? They don't possess it yet. To know this, to study this, to put this into practice, it's beginning to possess it. More so, since I do not know how to leave anything half done, Jesus says, but only fully complete. Therefore, first, Jesus says, I dispose the soul. Then I expand her capacity. And then I give the knowledge together with the good it contains. So it's not that you read it, oh, I possess it. No, you read it, God now is just going to dispose you to expand it, to expand your capacity. And this is reading again and again and again. Then he says, I give you the knowledge together with the good that this gift contains. I don't do halfway things, Jesus says, only complete things. So right now he's trying to dispose us. Then he's going to expand our capacity. Then he gives the knowledge together with the good that it contains. Again, this is the fullness that's not here yet. It's coming. It's coming. God wants us to get ready. Volume 19, 9:13, 19:26. In eternity, there shall be no secrets. I, God, shall reveal everything. I, God, shall show all things in my works with divine justice, and how divine justice could never have been given had there not been sufficient acts in humanity to be able to give what the Supreme Majesty wants to give. Okay, so he's saying this very clearly. I'm going to reveal everything. My work's going to bring divine justice. Divine justice could never have been given if there weren't sufficient acts. Every heartbeat, every thought, every word, every deed is an I love you to God. He says, every time you do an act, he says, the conception of Jesus in your soul, which is the beginning of trying to live in the divine will, every act is an atom that makes that soul give birth to Christ. It took 9 months for Jesus in the womb. It's taking us a little longer to get into this great gift of the divine will, because he says, had there not been sufficient acts that we do, every thought, every word, every deed in the divine will, he says, to be able to give what the Supreme wants to give. And that's to bear Christ. Our Lady did this. She gave the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ in a human form. Now Jesus says, I want you to do this. I want my children to look like me, Jesus says. Image and likeness of God, Jesus says. So he says, are you ready to what I'm going to do? It is true that everything that a creature does in my grace is my grace, but my grace wants it to find its prop, the support of the dispositions and the goodwill of humanity. It is true. Everything that the creature does is a grace. But my grace wants to find the prop, the support, the disposition of the goodwill of humanity. Therefore, in order to restore the kingdom of my divine will, it takes sufficient acts of humanity. That's what God is offering to us. Are you going to be focused on this gift? When you do your prevening act, are you ready to bring about this about? Therefore, in order to restore the kingdom of my divine will upon earth, it takes sufficient acts of the creature so that my kingdom may not remain in the air, but my kingdom may descend to be formed upon the very acts of the creature formed by her to obtain this good that is so great. I want my kingdom to descend. I want it to be formed on the acts that you're doing. Every heartbeat, every breath, every step, every thought, every word, every deed formed by the soul. And this is Louisa first, and now us linked to Louisa, to obtain this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, this good that is so great. Volume 20, 920, 1926. The soul who lives fully in the divine will forms the fullness of the day, the new day, the eighth day of creation. One who does not live fully in the divine will, but does my will only with strain, that's what the saints have done, forms the dawn. Like it's the beginning. The sun isn't here yet. The light is here, but the sun isn't here. This is what the saints have gotten us ready for. The one who laments about what it disposes and what wants to withdraw. This is the one who doesn't like being Catholic, forms the sunset. It's the sun is now disappearing. He says, but for the one who does not do my divine will at all, it's always perennial nighttime. It's the beginning of that eternal night of hell that shall never end. Jesus is showing us, I have to give everybody what they want. Now you can say, I love the divine will, but I'm focused on the saints. You're in the light. There's no sun yet. You can say, as Jesus says here, laments about, I don't really want the divine will. To withdraw forms the sunset. The sun is gone. Sun is out of the sky and it's the evening. But the one who does not do my divine will at all is perennial night, the beginning of the eternal night of hell that'll never end. See, what's coming is the kingdom. Whether we want it or not, it's coming. If we want it, we're going to be in the light. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You're the taste. You bring that taste to everyone. Volume 20, 10-2, 1926. My daughter, I am. I love when he uses his name. Looking at how much I have to expand the boundaries of the kingdom of my divine will to give possession of it to humanity. The endlessness that the kingdom of my divine will contains, because it is not given to them as creatures to cross and embrace the will that corresponds to the kingdom that has no boundaries. So he says, I know you don't have this, but I want to give it to you. In fact, he says, since they are created beings, they are always restricted and limited because of the fallen nature. Even though we have been redeemed by Christ, co-redeemed with Our Lady at the foot of the cross with Jesus, they always remain restricted and limited. But even though they are limited, Jesus says, I dispose more or less goods and the extension of the expanse that they must possess in order to their disposition, according to their dispositions. So Jesus is saying, I know you. I know you're limited. But can you say yes to this? Can you say yes to this? And if you say yes to this, I can begin to give it to you. And the more that you say fiat, yes, yes, fiat, 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 the more I am going to give this, because you're open to what I've got planned. So I am looking at the posterity. I am looking at the dispositions that they shall have. I am looking at those in the present to see their dispositions that they have, because those in the present must pray, must impetrate, must prepare the kingdom of the supreme fiat for posterity. Job. Pray. We must trade. We must prepare fiat for our posterity. And according to the dispositions of posterity, to the interest of those present, so do I keep expanding the boundaries of my kingdom. So he's saying this to us. He's expanding the boundaries of his kingdom because the generations are so linked one to another that it always happens this way. One prays, one prepares, another impetrates, another possesses. We're praying, we're preparing, we're impetrating, we're possessing. Little by little, everything is changing. Our world is changing because of this great gift of the divine will. So he says, the same happens with my coming, happened with the coming upon my on earth. In order to form the redemption, it was not those who were present who prayed, sighed, and cried to obtain the goods, but it was the ones who enjoyed them and possessed them. But those who lived before my coming prayed and sighed and created to obtain its goods. And according to the dispositions of those in the present, the prayers and dispositions of those in the past, so I did expand the boundaries of the good of redemption. In fact, only when a good can be useful for creatures, then do I give it. So again, our job is to pray and to sigh and to cry for this, to obtain the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. He says, and I expand the boundaries. He says, just like with the good of redemption, because of the prophets and the kings and the judges and the good and holy men of the Old Testament. He says, basically, I now want to give this great gift to the divine will. But if it brings them no utility, why give it? And this utility is taken by them if they have more dispositions. So Jesus is saying, get ready. Get ready for what I'm going to do. But do you know when I expand the boundaries? When I manifest to you, Louisa, a new knowledge. And when what she puts down on paper, what we read, he's manifesting to us a new knowledge that regards the kingdom of my divine will. This is why before manifesting it to you, Louisa, and for those who are reading, I cast a glance over all of humanity to see their dispositions, whether it shall be useful for them or it shall be for them as if I, God, had not spoken. And in seeing what I want to expand my boundaries more in order to give more goods, more joys, more happiness to possess, but they are not disposed, Jesus says, I feel afflicted and I wait for your prayers. That's what Jesus is saying to us. I wait for your praying your rounds in my divine will. I wait for your sufferings, your pains, in order to dispose those present as well as their posterity. And Jesus says this, Well, we'll get that. We'll get to that in the next talk. And we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.